Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we tell stories about and then debate a controversial topic.
And then we research and splice in all the mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Today we are talking about Justin Trudeau. Oh, Justy Pants. He is in the middle of a scandal here in Canada. It has to do with SNC-Lavalin, which is a company. So we're going to tell our stories about our relationships with him. We both, in fact, voted for him in the last election. And the second half of this pod is going to be us discussing how we now feel about him in light of these new accusations. And of course, throughout we'll be splicing in some Canadian politics and the science. Today's Side Notes will be presented by me, Craig, and Rachel.
Hey, friends. Let's get into it.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
Nothing. I feel like we... Have we not recorded in a while? Like, maybe we were a little bit ahead. We were on vacation.
Yeah, because we were away.
Yeah, so I just feel like we haven't actually sat here and recorded in...
Feels nice. There's a pep in our step because we were just mostly reading for a week.
Yeah, truly. I read 2 books in 1 week, which is like, I don't know if I've done... ever
or standing ovation.
Yeah,
good job.
We also always have this goal to like read what, like a book a month, or like recently it's been one of our like resolutions. I know you say you're not supposed to tell people about your resolutions, but like
that was you who said that you made a video.
I
think you actually made a video that you put on our YouTube channel literally about that.
I know, but I've like accomplished that last year, and so I'm like, okay, now I think it's part of a habit. Anyway, I feel so good because I'm like, I'm so ahead of the trend right now. Like, I got an
extra. How many books have you read this year?
4.
And we're only in the third month.
Just entering the third month.
Oh,
I started
God.
5, but 1 I decided it I didn't like it, so I stopped.
Some
it.
Might say you're an intellectual. Wow.
Others might say not so much.
Well, hard on yourself.
How was your vacation, Greg?
Great. I loved. We were in Panama, mm-hmm. The beautiful country of Panama. We were in the city of Panama City, and then we went to another place called Bocas del Toro.
Actually, it just occurred to me, like, is it just called Panama City? Yeah, okay. I'm like, is it called Toronto City? No.
No, okay,
the city
wow.
is called Panama City City.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's called Panama
the
City.
The city of Panama City.
Yeah, but it's like New York City. You know what I mean? Like in New York.
I don't know why this has never occurred to me, but would you say, you would never say
it would
Los
be like
Angeles
if, it would
city.
Be like if we were Ontario City, if Toronto was called Ontario City.
What? This is too confusing. No, Toronto is called Toronto, but you don't call it Toronto City.
No, I know, but Panama City is called Panama City.
Oh, no, but that's a country, like Canada City, not Ontario.
Yeah,
City.
Yeah, sorry, like Canada City, but New York is a state. You know, like there's New York, the state of New York, and New York okay. City.
Got it. Got
okay,
it.
Wow. Whoa.
I'm here. Quebec this, City.
Quebec
got
City.
It. Okay.
Yeah. This is not a, well, sort of about Quebec
in a way. Not an intellectual.
Yeah. He didn't read a geography book. I mean, wow, I'm pretending I know everything about city names. I have no idea, but that was a fun, wow, connecting the dots.
Oh, What did we learn this week?
So, what I learned this week is about Panama.
Panama City.
But it's actually about Panama because this is not in Panama City. This is in the country of Panama. Sure. Okay. So what we learned, of course, if you go to Panama, you want to go see the canal, the Panama Canal. Honestly,
iconic. Like as an ignorant tourist, it's one of the only things going in that I like know about Panama.
You know what I mean? A lot of people are like, why are you going to Panama? The canal? And it's like, no, okay, it's a really interesting country. And but it's not as touristy as, say, its neighbor Costa Rica.
Right.
And I've actually been to Colombia and Costa Rica with the neighbor of both.
Both sides
of Panama, and both really amazing, interesting countries. But Panama was very developed. It had the American currency, a lot to do with the history of the Panama Canal, which was the main thing that we really learned about when we were there. It's a huge part of like why its economy is pretty strong. This canal is wild. So what I want to talk to you about is Lake Gatun, which is what...
Okay.
We learned
about...
We did not know this lake.
How little I understood about the canal. I'm so embarrassed, which I'll maybe explain a little bit after you explain
Mitch was even while we were there, Mitch was not fully grasping what was going on. It was
until
really
Greg figured out this lake thing. Okay.
Okay. So anyways, in order to get ships across from the Pacific to the Atlantic, they used to have to obviously go around South America. Very far, way more expensive until they realized that there was an isthmus. Isthmus, which is the name for like a very thin layer of land that connects two oceans. So Panama is an isthmus. It's very thin. So they decided to make a canal through it so that ships could go through and essentially like change economy and shipping forever.
But and save like, I think they said that it would take 2 weeks to go around versus like 8 hours.
Eight hours. And so what they had to do, because Panama is still relatively thick, is they needed to flood the middle of it in order to create a giant human-made lake that boats could then go through. And this lake is called Lake Gatun, and they built a dam on
this. Why do you say it different every time?
I don't know. I know. Wait. What would be like a Spanish word of like Gatun?
Yeah,
no,
okay.
That's French. Oh! Wow. Anyways, they built a dam to actually flood this huge portion of Panama that now essentially you can just picture literally, like, oil tankers going through this.
Like, picture, like, mountaintops that have become islands. Maybe not full-fledged mountains, but what once looked like giant mountains, now boats go through as though they're islands.
Well, they weren't mountains. They were more,
you know
they were
mean?
Wooded area, like hills,
right.
I would say.
Hills, okay.
Yeah. And it was a wooded area that now, it's really interesting because a lot of scientists actually study these specific islands because they're untouched by humans, essentially. These, like, human-created islands by flooding this middle of Panama to create this man-made lake. I don't like saying that. Woman and man-made lake, although it was mostly man when you learn about the history, has created this like specific sort of untouched islands where they like are now looking at what is actually would have happened if you looked in these parts of the world.
And just like left them alone.
And left them alone, which I thought was like so interesting.
Yeah.
But they did not in the museum go into this lake enough. Because I was like...
It was like one word on a thing that I, in museums, I'm always like, oh, skin.
Yeah, Mitch was not...
Craig was like,
it.
Did you see about the lake? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like two rooms ahead of him because I'm like, you're so slow. And then I realized I don't read properly.
But it's crazy. I still think it's crazy. I'm like, I wish, like, being there, I was like, they flooded the middle of Panama to create this canal. It wasn't a big topic of conversation when you're learning about it. You learn a lot about the lock system. You actually can physically go there and watch the boats get lifted up to above sea level to go through this human-made lake.
And the lake is, like, 80 kilometers long. So then they travel 80 kilometers and then get brought back down to the ocean.
And there's a lot of sunken ships in the lake for, like, any of the ships that go off the beaten path, I guess, trying to, like, make it a little shorter. And then they obviously hit something because it's, like, you need to stay on this path. Designed for this reason. Anyways, I thought it was interesting to know that canal is not, in fact, a skinny little portion of land.
This is literally what I thought. I just have to quickly say, like, and I'm sure other people thought this too, because I've seen the lock mechanism be described to me, and I thought that was the whole canal. That I thought it was, like, part of Panama was so skinny that there was, like, a 100-meter stretch that the boats would just, like, go over and be to the other side. And then when we were at the canal, I was like, why didn't they just, like, drill all the way through the land so the boats didn't have to go up and over? Not realizing that it's literally like 80 kilometers they have to travel once they get raised up.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid.
I mean, you couldn't know that. The only thing that was a little bit too as stupid about it was that we were like reading the museum and you still thought that until near the end of it.
As we were just talking, I realized when I first, because we first got there and heard them talking with the speaker, like, oh, it would take 2 weeks to go around. It takes 8 hours to go through. I was like, 8 hours to go through this tiny little lock? I was like, is it because it's such a backlog of all these ships just waiting for their turn that they just have to sit there for 8 hours? It's like, no, it's 80 kilometers.
It's a long trip, yeah.
But much shorter than going around.
And I just think about, imagine being like in that like land in the jungle and just like swimming on a beach and just seeing oil tanker after oil tanker after oil tanker grow through. And as us living on the East Coast, like in Toronto and New York City, for example, any Chilean wine that you have has come through the Panama Canal.
So many fruits
all
and vegetables.
Bananas from Ecuador. But another interesting thing is that from California, a lot of the food that they make, we still will receive from a ship that went through the Panama Canal. So it would go down and go through as opposed to being driven. In some cases, it's more actually like economically.
Probably cheaper, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, fascinating. As much as I was sort of like, what is this canal when I got there? I was like, this is actually
That's
really
crazy,
cool.
Yeah. My what I learned this week is not related to Panama.
Well, you learned that Panama was thicker than you thought.
Yeah, much thicker. It's also not related to Justin Trudeau. It's related to a new study that came out, which is kind of hammering home the same point that vaccines do not cause autism.
Okay.
So they did like a huge, another huge long study of over 650,000 kids, and they realized that the significance of this study over any others was that not only did it find that vaccines don't cause autism, they also found that it doesn't trigger autism in kids who are at high risk to get autism.
Okay.
So that was sometimes an argument like, but what if my kid maybe could get autism is more likely, and a vaccine kind of like kicks it into gear.
Okay.
And they realized by studying this, it was like watching kids over a decade and then following up with them. And that's 650,000 kids again. No link. And I know there's like not a lot to say about this other than it's just like...
like that exhausted article that did so much damage.
It's all based on one study that the author has redacted that people always link back to. There has now been, I think this 17 previous major studies that have found no link between vaccines and autism. And sorry, I shouldn't necessarily say like all vaccines. This study and all those studies were on the MMR, measles, mumps,
and rubella. Say it again with me. Measles, mumps, and rubella.
But that's the one that all the kids get when they're young to like protect them from these diseases that they're at high risk from. I mean, I don't have anything else to say other than like stop spreading this false idea. It doesn't mean we can't say, hey, let's make sure vaccines are still safe and any new vaccines we should be
but
testing.
Stop claiming this.
Yeah, it's no longer a point the scientific community. You know, at this point, it's just like, it's done.
And measles are back. Cute. Good job, everyone. Measles are back. Cute.
And it seems like there's more celebrities than ever that are, like, supporting this notion. So that's a weird part of the world we live in. And how do we make people listen to science?
Oh, my gosh. That's a consistent thing that we're going to be talking about for the rest of life.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
So today we are talking about Justin Trudeau. Mm-hmm. In the midst of a controversy here in Canada, if you don't know about it, we are going to, after the middle break, go into this SNC-Lavalin controversy, get to our opinions now on Justin Trudeau as people who, in our story time, I want to talk about voted for him.
Yeah, I won't say too much about it now other than for especially like Americans or people around the world who have no idea.
It's actually a big deal now and the New York Times is on it.
But there are like Canadians who don't even quite know. So we'll explain the whole thing. But for now, just know that there is like quite a scandal going
on. It's a big deal for us Canadians. It's juicy.
Juicy.
So
okay, but
before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about Justin Trudeau and our history with him because we do have some stories kind of about him. And to start, I want to know, did you vote for him in the last election?
Wow, that is private information that you're not allowed to ask people.
Wait, really?
No, I'm joking. I did vote for Justin Trudeau in the last election. No, some people are very particular and don't want to have to reveal who they are.
I think it's
for.
Important that if we give our opinions on him that we can explain that we did vote for him. I did too.
True,
I voted
for him. That's true. I think that gives context of how we'll have a lot of discussions in and how we having an opinion, a negative opinion on him even after you voted on him.
Because I usually vote NDP, but in the last election, it was kind of like he really wasn't going to potentially win until right before the election. Do you remember that?
It was very
last minute.
Because often, for those not from Canada, there's two parties that are kind of left-leading, and they can sometimes split the vote. But often, near an election, then everyone's like, hey, which one are we voting for?
Yeah, the left-leading people.
Because the conservatives have been in power for so long, and I think everyone wanted a change, that it was like, we can't split this vote. And then within like the last 2 weeks, it was like everyone just was like, okay, no, we're all voting for Liberal because they have the best chance of winning.
And they won by a lot more than I think people had expected.
Yeah, it was wild.
So around that time, do you remember we made a video about voting for science? Because the conservative government prior to Justin Trudeau had actually passed...
It was like silencing science.
Yeah, it was silencing scientists, making it so that scientists couldn't speak publicly in Canada about their science. What do you think the reason for that was?
I think that they just wanted control of narratives. And so if there was, especially to do with things like climate change. It was like Canada was a big producer of oil.
Still
and we
have
the tar sands. And yeah, like a lot of things that climate scientists look at and go like, that's perhaps one of the worst things that's happening in the world with relation to
here
climate.
In Canada.
Yeah, especially in Canada. So I think that a government that wanted to exploit those resources was like, we want to have control of the narrative and paint these. The government would sometimes at that time have ads that tried to make the oil sands.
They still do. Sometimes you go to the movies in Toronto and they're like, you might think the oil sands are just oil turbines, but look at them here. We plant grass on top, and then they have like bunny noises, and then it's like brought to you by the government of Alberta. And I'm like, isn't that propaganda? Like, are you allowed to do that? Because even I'm like, I have that little tingling in my brain where I'm like, my gosh, if you put grass on top of it. And then I'm like, no, Greg, like, you know the truth, but they're well designed. It's propaganda, right?
I guess to a degree, if there's not proper studies to support that just putting grass on top is going to actually reclaim those lands and not cause so much damage to the areas, then I assume, it's very bizarre. It's like that I don't know enough about to call it propaganda, but that feels like it when you see it.
Yeah, because they're really well designed and they trick you.
And they have so much money that they can create things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like one of the biggest industries that, of course, they have money to produce these well misinformation ads.
And people really think of Canada as like so clean and green and all this stuff, but it's like the tar sands, which is how we extract oil here in Alberta and in Canada and in the West, is disgusting. Mm. They literally have to use water to extract the oil from the sand, and you just end up with all this waste. It's literally the worst thing in the world. And when we were traveling recently with Europeans, they all knew about it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Like, even Canadians, I feel like, don't know how bad. Yeah. And I remember once I was traveling in Sweden, and there was an actual documentary. They were all like, oh, we're going to sit down and watch the nightly, like, documentary news. And it was all about the tar sands, like a 10-part series. And I remember thinking, like, wait, they need to, like, do this more in Canada. Like, these Swedish people were like,
we should be educated on this. Yeah.
They were like, your country's disgusting. And I was like, wow, you guys are really looking into this. Okay, good to know. But in that time when we made that science video, do you remember when we were asked if we wanted to interview Justin Trudeau about the upcoming election? We would meet him in a hotel room, hot, and interview him. We were going to get 10 minutes, but we were actually worried that it was going to become
too political or partisan.
Because we knew we were going to make a video about voting for science, in which case we obviously were trying to say, don't vote for this conservative leader, Stephen Harper, who's silencing scientists. When Stephen Harper was the Prime Minister of Canada, so this is before Trudeau, you might not have heard of him if you're outside of Canada. He was definitely not on the cover of Vogue. His administration was silencing scientists. And what happened is that the Federal Information Commissioner became so conspicuous of what was going on that they launched a formal investigation into it, and the results only came out last year. It confirmed the suspicions of the scientific community and found that Stephen Harper and his administration did in fact muzzle scientists in Canada and prevented them from speaking openly to the media about their research. And this was especially the case with issues in environmental science that conflicted with the conservative mandate, which was at the time to use the Alberta oil sands to turn Canada into an energy superpower. Again, that's the conservative government who's wanting to make the tar sands in Alberta make as much money as possible, and therefore they stifled the science that's saying, you know, this might be bad for the environment.
The notion that the way Canada is going to advance is by a zealous increase in our export of oil and natural gas, and that we have to ease up the restrictions to allow more of that, flies in the face of all of the research on climate change.
Government scientists weren't allowed to talk directly to the media and were forced instead to communicate through these like media control centers that would deliberately not get back to journalists in a timely manner to make it seem slow and confusing. They would distort the research results fully, and they'd even dictate to the scientists how they should answer questions, allowing them not to be free to explain their research.
Mr. Harper would probably be the first one to say politicians shouldn't be trying to pick winners and losers in the business world. We leave that to business people, right? And yet they think they can pick winners and losers in the scientific and academic world.
You might wonder why a politician would do this, but by restricting the flow of scientific information in this way, Stephen Harper and the conservative government were able to limit the public's access to research. That way, no one could really be sure whether or not the government's decisions and policies were based on scientific data, which afforded Harper less accountability for the actions and for their policies and what they were doing as a government. In a way, it was like he got to almost close the door on people's perception of science and therefore also, you know, make it seem like he didn't need to use science when he was making policies. And even if in the future people were like, you made mistakes, he could be like, well, maybe I didn't know. As well, during his time in office, Stephen Harper dismissed and defunded nearly 2,000 scientists and slashed billions of dollars from the budgets of several ministries and departments. And in 2014, a letter signed by 800 scientists from all over the world, 30 different countries, urged Stephen Harper to reverse the trend of defunding scientific research. So it was across the world that people were seeing this impact of a Canadian government trying to stifle science.
Scientists and science decimated by a transformation in political priorities, obliterating years of talent and experience.
This is just some convoluted but very obvious examples of what happens in the struggle between politics and climate change research. And I do think that in this time and with all the research coming through week after week from scientists, we need to be voting for politicians who are thinking long term and not short term. That to me is what it comes down to if we are going to be able to survive, honestly think within 100 to 200 more years on this planet. And I usually do vote NDP, and I think last minute decided to vote Justin Trudeau for that reason we said earlier, as it was sort of like the best option out of everyone. Mm-hmm. But I remember we really were sitting there struggling because we're like, I mean, he's really cute.
like we could hang out with
we're
him.
Like, we wouldn't mind like chatting with him. Like, he's a pretty famous dad. And like, but we weren't actually sure he was going to win. But we had to make that decision, which I'm proud of us for making, like to not, you know, given to sort of like the star-studded ability to speak
right.
with Justin
Well, I
Trudeau.
Think it's also, I mean, not that we were at all being paid for that. I think we had access to him. But something I didn't know, and I think a lot of people in like this YouTube world, because we're not journalists, someone had once told me, thankfully, like, you should be careful to never accept money from political parties because it obviously throws into question your credibility. Huh. And so when you're working with political parties on campaigns or whatever, like, you have to do it from a position of like, especially if you have like journalistic integrity,
yeah,
to make sure that it can never be construed that you were paid off to say something a certain way, right?
And I remember when we released that video, it was a lot of like radio stations and like people reached out to be like, can you speak to us about your opinions on the upcoming election? Because that's something that people want to talk about. And I remember when we were on those interviews having that moment where I'm like, I'm so happy we're not having a meeting with Justin Trudeau because we got to speak openly and be like,
right,
kind of say that. Like,
here's some criticisms, yeah, here's some truths.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And not really be like, but like, obviously we're like, so liberal because we're sitting down and interviewing Justin mm-hmm. Trudeau. But the one thing I was interested about was whether or not they would let us, because I know we were like, if we do it, we would have to be like, we have to ask these questions.
Right.
Like, I think we were like worried that they would be like, okay, here's what you can ask
right.
him. And then I'm like, I don't know if we would have like backed out then or what would have happened.
Because I remember there was a time when Obama sat down with a handful of YouTubers and I think they let them choose their own questions. So far as I remember,
oh,
like Destin did one.
Obama.
And I can't remember, there was like two other YouTubers maybe who got to like live interview Obama on It's the Life
Ingrid
on
Niels,
YouTube.
Ingrid Nielsen.
Yeah, I think she was one. And I believe that I think Destin had said, like, yeah, we were allowed to choose. Like,
oh, my God,
Barack
Obama's so cute.
Yeah, which is an amazing skill as a communicator to be like, I'm not afraid. I can
yeah.
take questions off the cuff. Like, I know my stuff. And that would have been really important, I think, to us. For any political candidate, I understand in certain situations they're like, they have their message they're trying to hone through. But in a lot of situations, they're like, no, but I want to see you actually talk
yes.
about issues.
Which is what we will get to when we talk about Justin Trudeau after the break.
And the current
break.
Scandal, yeah. yeah.
After the
after
break.
The break.
Okay, oh my God, have you seen Obama in the bomber jacket?
Recently?
Oh, he's so hot. He's just like in this like cool bomber jacket. And it's just one of those moments where you're just like,
wow.
Damn.
Greg really wishes. I mean, I guess I wish Obama was like our leader as well. But
what?
I
you
mean,
don't?
Like,
what do you mean? What?
I don't know. I just
you mean
like,
I love Obama.
I mean, like, you're obsessed.
I've always loved Obama.
You're
yeah,
obsessed.
The Obama family. Michelle
okay, well,
Obama.
When, like, when was the first time you really like heard about Justin Trudeau?
I think I don't know. I mean, I think of his dad, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, as someone a prime minister my family loved and who I like heard about my whole life. I remember
wasn't he like I don't know my Canadian history, but wasn't, I think he was a prime minister for like a long time, right?
Yeah, and he was very pro-immigration. He created a lot, like, the healthcare system, a lot of the liberal ideology that we sort of like now spout as like Canada's a liberal place. A lot of it came from his like tenure as prime minister. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like think I knew about him as his son. I never really thought about him as like going into politics. And when he did, it was a pretty big deal in Canada, but it wasn't as big a deal as it was when he got elected. Like, I think a lot of people weren't sure that he was going to win.
Yeah, I actually remember prior to him, I think, ever announcing he was going to run for prime minister, but I think everyone knew it was leading to that. Like, that was going to be the narrative.
I remember he would, like, box.
I really did not like him. I remember seeing interviews with him and finding him to be, like, actually seem young and immature and annoying and kind of pander the camera.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember seeing videos and being like, oh, I really, like, I could never vote for this person. And something happened. Like, he either matured, he changed, he got, like, public speaking lessons. And I can distinctly remember, like, the way he looked with longer hair and him, like, being very aggressive about something in an interview once and being really turned off by it. But then finding that he was able to develop that into a speaking style that was, like, more inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
More like, I'm angry, but I'm not, like, flying off the handle angry. I'm like,
instead of flying off the handle, I hope you're happy. So one thing I thought we could bring up as a story before we get into the debate was that he really is attached to this thing called Global Citizen. So he speaks a lot at the Global Citizen concerts. I'm looking, do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, no, I don't.
He donated a lot to Global Citizen as this, it's a philanthropic organization from Australia, Red Flag. So,
Oh my God, Greg.
So Global Citizen, we were asked to be a part of this event. It happens in New York City. They happen all over the world. Beyonce is part of this story. Mm-hmm. And it's what it is this weird sort of concert where you earn the tickets by doing social good. So if you tweet something that's like to your like elected MP, like we need to help
end poverty
and like get water to this specific place, like that counts as like 5 points towards your ticket. If you actually like do community service, that counts as 10 points for your ticket, which I actually find
it's
quite
a cool
interesting
premise. Yeah, no, that's great.
It's an interesting premise. And so we were asked to host sort of like a live stream of the one in New York 2 years ago. And so looking into this, we're like, this seems really interesting. This seems really cool. All these celebrities are attached to this.
Yeah.
We're going to go through YouTube. So we show up, and I just want to, like, give people a glimpse into sort of the behind the scenes of these things, because I feel like a lot of people don't get to see it. And for me, I found it, like, really hard to reconcile what was going on, because on the day of the event, the backstage is just, it's full of celebrities, like, and full of people, predominantly, it's very business, like, very...
like, schmoozy, like, wearing beautiful outfits, like, wanting to drink and toast.
Very,
and like
white,
like, it's Hollywood,
very,
I think,
yeah,
right?
Very
like,
Hollywood, unlimited alcohol, all the fanciest alcohol you could imagine, the amount of money that went into making sure that the VIP people were good was insane.
And that they felt, it was, like that it was bougie and it was so elegant. It was just weird when you're like, I think this is where you're going, that you're at an event that's about like putting money towards these great causes, but that there's clearly this
people getting wasted.
And it's like for the celebrities to be there, like my takeaway was like for those them to get those celebrities there, they needed to provide an environment that was so lavish.
And I think that maybe that is fair, like maybe they need to know that, but I was just thinking, as celebrities, I was looking around at so literally like looking at Chris Martin in the eye, like in his outfit, and a lot of these people.
In the eye, you're like,
no, but I mean, like, remember how we were? It was like we've never really been shoulder to shoulder with celebrities in that way.
Like,
and I was like,
Susan Sarandon was like right there.
And they're all dressed down. You know what I mean? Like they kind of want they all take off their kind of like gown and put on the Global Citizen shirt to go on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think this is a time where everyone could have agreed that we could have had a less like luxurious.
Yeah, we could have like struggled a little bit backstage
because it's like it just was like a lot of this money went into this. And I think that it's like important that it went into the staging, and it was important to maybe like Beyonce, we will get to that, putting on this amazing performance for people. But I was really taken aback by like the luxury of the behind the stage thing, and maybe that's just what all celebrities expect, but I was like, come on, like we're all human, why does it need to be like this? And even this interactions we had with the people who ran it, they were really like didn't seem to be talking about the actual social good. They were talking a lot about the business transaction of like us, and it was really, really weird. But one thing I will say that was really cool, speaking about Beyonce, we could tell our story, is that We were there the day before to set up, and we are not celebrities, so we were basking in the ability to be around these people, and this was like the dress rehearsal for the concert. And so everyone is like, Beyonce's dress rehearsal will be starting at 8 p.m. And no, of course, Beyonce will not be here for it because it's Beyonce. Right. She knows what she's doing. She practiced at home. So everyone, you can just go home. Nothing to see here. And me and Mitch are kind of like, okay, we could go home or we could just wait it out and see.
You never know.
You never know. And even like, I'm like, I would watch Beyonce's backup dancers rehearse and be,
that'd be
fully
so cool.
Like,
yeah, with like not without an audience. Yeah,
we can without an audience, like it's Beyonce. So everyone's going home. Like even the person we were with was kind of like, we should go. And I was like, I'm not gonna go. Like there's nothing better. I would love to watch these backup dancers, even if she's not here. So we're waiting, and all of a sudden we're like in the little food tent, we're eating, and we start noticing like everyone starts walking in. They all have like the Beyonce lanyard. I'm like, mm-hmm. I love Beyonce. I'm like, that's Beyonce's backup dancer. Like I recognize
Greg
that.
Greg literally
one.
Knew everyone. Like he was like, these people are surrounding Beyonce all the time.
Yeah, I was like, those are the, like, I literally recognize them from the Blow video.
He's
like
probably around, maybe.
No, well, we didn't think she was around because we were told she's not around, right? Like that was very clearly like addressed to everyone. Mm-hmm. Go home. So we're like, okay, and like we still have this badge. Everyone's kind of like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, we're rehearsing. Oh, we have this badge. Like we have this badge. Like we have this badge. We should be here. We should be here. We should be here. So anyways, it gets dark and it's time to like start the rehearsal. And we're like, okay, we're going to walk out. So we walk out to the front of the stage where there's, I'd say like 50 people. A lot mm-hmm. of them are the people running the event who we yeah. now know. There's not that many people. It's really cool because then all of a sudden you see the stage. Like literally what the people are in are these really ugly wooden boxes. They yeah. look like nothing, but then on stage with lighting they look like they're
really
made of
cool.
like yeah. like beautiful
like
fabric. It's
like, yeah.
brilliantly designed
fabric and glass, like we said, totally awesome yeah. things, but the fronts of them are glass because you can like see through it. Like,
yeah,
it looks like they're in these boxes,
but yeah. when they're like left like on a field, when you see them behind stage, you're like, that looks like trash. It's
yeah, like,
really cool
plywood.
Yeah, like it's well lit. So anyways, it starts and I'm like, this seemingly like, I don't know, like flamboyant guy in heels comes out as Beyonce. And all the backup dancers start going. And I'm kind of like, Mitch, this is awesome.
Yeah,
we're about to
fun.
Watch
yeah.
this
like her
performance, this stand-in. Like, he's mouthing. And then all of a sudden, he just walks off. And Beyonce walks out into her place in her...
like, kind of casual.
Casual. And I was like, they checked up. So I'm like, hey, it's Beyonce. I freak out. Everyone, including the organizers, like literally the CEO of this company, starts lifting up their phone to mm-hmm. record.
Everyone's freaking out, yeah.
And I swear to God, 20 to 30... people out of nowhere start smacking our hands. They go, put your phone down, put your phone down.
Yeah.
So Beyonce's crew
is like
out in there knowing this is going to happen. Starts yelling in my face, do not record this.
Yeah, there was one person going around being like, these people cannot have their phones. Like, everyone put away your phone right
it
now.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
I was like, this is so, like they were on it.
Yeah.
Put my phone away. I was like, you are exactly right.
Because they were like, she's rehearsing. This is not meant to be consumed
yeah,
by anyone.
And also then we start seeing her going off on the CEO. She's like, you told us this would be a closed rehearsal.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's true. We should not be here. We are measly little YouTubers with this measly little badge, and it worked for us to get back to it. I do not know why this is working. So we got to watch it. So she didn't sing into the mic. She would mouth, but it was a dance rehearsal.
Yeah,
I guess,
think for the staging and stuff, so
yeah.
she could like figure out her spots on stage.
And then you would see people in the distance, literally like, it's bad, like screaming, like she was probably the tiniest little pin.
Eventually,
to them.
I think they turned off the audio of her voice so people wouldn't realize from a distance
oh,
it was
yeah.
bad. And then you'd hear the track,
yeah.
and they would be dancing on stage, but you wouldn't hear. I feel like maybe she was singing at first. And
yeah,
then
you're right, and then
they
turned it off.
They turned her mic off because
she
they
could
were
probably
like,
hear herself.
It's calling people over.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they didn't want that because there was no control of the crowd.
And then we saw Jay-Z and Blue come out,
oh,
remember?
Yeah.
And they started watching. It was like, I was actually like, this is literally
special.
The coolest thing
really
of
special.
Our entire life. But it was also amazing to see her kind of do her, go through the motions in rehearsal and then watch the next night and just mm-hmm. see her turn it out. And
yeah.
I'm just like, she is the best performer of all time.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Watching her rehearse was like a blessing, and then we remember we just went behind and hid behind a trash can
so that we could see, her come on stage.
Yeah. And she like walked on stage, like got in a go-kart. She seemed so nice. Like it was one of those moments where I was like, everyone was staring at her,
and she's just so used to it.
And she has built an amazing team of people around her. Yeah.
So she never has to be the rude person.
And I swear to God, there was like 30 of these like predominantly like black women who came out, and I was like, I love you, Beyonce. Like, you have this team of people who work for you, who have, they're professional, they know what they're doing, and they yelled at those Australian CEOs right in their face. You know what I mean? It was like, I am here for this. It was amazing. Anyways.
Beyonce is a queen, and her beehive is loyal.
I think Beyonce just released an album on iTunes. Oh my god.
Whoa! Whoa!
Oh my god.
And there is good reason to cry at a Beyonce concert. Her vocals are perfection. Her choreo is unmatched. But it turns out that concerts in general are good for you. One study took saliva samples of 117 participants before and after two separate concerts. What they found was a decrease in the level of steroid hormones, including significant changes in cortisol, which we associate with stress. This was the first evidence to show that a cultural event can impact your endocrine system and downregulate stress. This is even more amplified than listening on your own, where an Australian study found that those who attended regular concerts had a higher sense of well-being than those who didn't. This might have to do not only with your interaction with the musician superstars on stage, but your interaction with other members of the audience. The experience of shared rhythm and shared emotions is hypothesized as one of the reasons music exists in the first place. During our evolution, the synchronization that happens when moving to the beat can help us bond, enabling cooperation and survival of our species.
And rhythm saved the world, and in France not long ago, all the boys were feeling low.
As a whole, Global Citizen's kind of weird, and Justin Trudeau has really leaned into it, and I think it's time we talk about our opinions on him.
Okay. Well, we'll have a little break, we'll come back, and then we'll get into the controversy.
Hello, beautiful ears that are streaming in this luscious sound, having, you know, those air particles just vibrate, hitting that cochlea, sending that neurotransmission to your brain. Thank you so much for letting us hit your cochlea. Wow, that sounded dirty. Again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast and for using the hashtag #SideNotePodcast to get in touch with us. We really love looking at that. Also on Instagram, tagging us. It's so fun. Either way, we just want to say thank you. We're working hard on this pod. We have some collaborations coming up to try and like get the noise out there a little bit more about what we're doing here. Feel free to tell your friends and family, but just keep listening. And thanks so much. And now let's go back to the debate about Mr. Trudeau.
Debate time.
So today, we are going to be having a discussion right now about our opinions on Justin Trudeau.
I'm sure it will be a little bit of a debate, but I think more and more, like with this part of the podcast, it's like, this one's a little more up in the air. We don't exactly know who's on which side.
Sometimes I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yeah, it's also like a little nuanced, and sometimes it's not. So Yeah. Why don't we start by just describing, because I feel like a lot of people don't really understand what happened. It is a little nuanced in some ways, but I think we can just describe the simple aspects
of it.
Okay,
you go for it, and I'll see if there's anything I feel I need to add.
You go for it. Okay, I'm like, I don't want to mess it up. Okay, so basically there's this company called SNC-Lavalin, is that how you say it? And it is like a contracting company that's based in Quebec.
Making like construction, like
yeah,
bridges
construction,
and
all
buildings.
Around the world. Yes. So they do this stuff all around the world. So what has happened is they were caught doing some maybe illegal activities.
They were bribing
the government in
Libya.
And so the government of Canada or some prosecution found out, so they need to be charged. The problem was that they're worried about charging them because this company does a lot of work in Canada, and so it employs something like 9,000 people.
Yeah, it's a very important thing that people say all the time. 9,000 jobs.
Yeah, 9,000 jobs. And on top of that, if you persecute this company in the way that they would have, they can no longer apply for Canadian jobs for a decade.
Yeah, or jobs through the Canadian government.
Through the Canadian government. They can't apply for those contracts.
And people would be like, okay, well, if they're going to go apply for jobs elsewhere, those other countries are going to be like, wait, but why can't you even make contracts in your own country. Oh, because you did these illegal things. Like, it just would essentially maybe ruin the business.
But which is a Canadian-grown, French-Canadian-grown company.
Yeah, that's...
Which plays
but
into
the jobs
the
are all over
Yeah,
Canada.
The jobs are all over. But if the company goes bust, then I'm sure all those jobs go
and
bust.
And I would say just like doing a lot more research by the company, there was a lot of issues with the way that they bribed Libya, these upper officials, but they also did briberies within Quebec to build a bridge in Montreal. It's a scummy company. Yeah, well, it's like, I don't know how often this happens in all of in business. Me as someone, I know we disagree a lot on these things, but as someone who's like really critical of companies in general, I'm like, this is just a depressing thing to hear. Okay, yeah, okay. This company's literally corrupt. Okay, cool. So it's going to get charged properly by the law potentially lose all of its ability to make contracts in Canada, or they could just be fined.
Right. So that was perhaps what behind the scenes, allegedly, the government was trying to figure out, like, is there a way that we can just fine them so we don't destroy the company so we don't lose 9,000 jobs in Canada, and this company that's based in Quebec, which is a place that really matters for the Liberals to win votes right now, I think they were concerned that if they lose all these jobs, not only does it look bad on a whole federal level, but it could also really impact their
like maybe like
in Quebec.
Lose their next election.
So they might lose the next election.
But also I would say is that that type of deal to actually make these companies just pay a fine is what is a lot more common in say the UK and America. Maybe they were like, oh, status quo in these other Western countries.
Like, we should follow that.
Yeah,
protocol.
But Canada, no, they have a different type of law that's actually a little bit more harsh.
So then the controversy comes when Justin Trudeau, who is well known for his, gender parity on his cabinet, equal men and women, and trying to put people from different backgrounds, has a minister who is an Indigenous woman who was in charge of this role.
Jody Wilson-Raybould.
Yeah, and she had decided, I don't think it's ethical. She said, nothing illegal is being done here, but I think that this company should be charged
properly. They're going to,
They did something bad. And as a result, I shouldn't say as a result, but at the time, so in January, his cabinet was then shuffled and she was switched from that role in what would look like a demotion. But nobody necessarily knew this. And then recently she quit, saying it was because of this that she was being pressured really, really badly to make it so this company, she would interfere with the persecution or prosecution and that she would make it so that they were only fined, whatever.
Yeah, she felt like she was being influenced by the government.
Yeah, yeah. And just the other day, another female cabinet minister has also resigned saying, solidarity, that they're friends and they believe they want to, this is corruption. And they're like, we were brought on because we're trying to, get past the, swamp of politics, and here we are having to, leave it now because it's just the same old status quo. So that's kind of the state of the controversy. There's still a lot of information that's being talked about that's coming out.
It is so interesting and juicy to
hear. What do you find the most
interesting? Here we go. Okay.
So let's have some thoughts.
Let's talk about Justin Trudeau. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's try and chat about this through the lens of him.
Okay.
So what I find so interesting about this whole case is that I think it's helping people really understand and make politics become something that is not so confusing. And it's kind of simple. It's it sounds confusing in theory, but it's okay, there's these companies that clearly do illegal things. Mm-hmm. They need to be charged, but these companies also employ
people
in Canada.
Power, yeah.
What do you do? So I'm empathetic to all sides of this.
Yeah, me too.
But one thing that I would say is that I find I when she talks about the way that Jodie Wilson-Raybould talks about the way that they kept sort of hassling her to, you know, maybe change her decision, maybe get some more insight into these things. And even the way that she has said that Justin Trudeau did say, you know, I am the MP in Quebec. Like, if we lose all these jobs or if they lose these contracts in Canada, that could influence the election. Like, that's what he insinuated. Things like that just make me be like, oh, my God, okay, this – I'm glad that we're bringing to light that this is corruption. This does happen in government. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really not good optics for him because he sort of ran and came into power and was really good at taking to the stage, the world stage, as this person who's going to speak for the people and, like, be anti-corruption.
Right. And be very democratic. Be like, we believe in democracy and we're going to follow these rules and we're not going to, like, be behind the scenes like so many other governments have, trading and benefiting off of stuff, benefiting off of, like, the taxpayer's dollar and this sort of thing.
So one thing that just made me so frustrated in all of this, because we can talk maybe now or later about how this is, like, potentially going to lose him the election. And I think what's frustrating to me is that when I think about the conservatives and I think about other, like, I'm sure this happens a lot. I get it. It's like
the status quo.
It doesn't always come out. And I think that's why these women are, in my opinion, awesome. They're almost acting as whistleblowers to allow the public to understand that these things happen all the time. But he hasn't spoken down the barrel of the camera to the Canadian people in a way that has sounded like authentic. Like,
he kind of ran on a platform of being real.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people have always questioned his
authenticity. Yeah, you said that you were like,
but there was a point where I was like, okay, he feels more real than most politicians. I like when a politician can just talk off the cuff and not sound so scripted. And it is like, I wish right now that Justin Trudeau would sit down and put a YouTube video out or a live stream where he was just like,
okay, this
I understand this looks bad. I'm going to talk through what happened from my perspective. I think one difficult thing is that in all these articles and all this information, it's the Prime Minister's office. So he has a team of people. So it's not necessarily him who's the person telling them that they have to change this, right? Even he might be behind the scenes asking people to do that. But from, like, a Jodie Wilson-Raybould's perspective, like, he wasn't coming to her being like, you need to change it. Because he has a whole team of people who manage those things for
him. So she was saying that she was being reached out to by a lot of different, like, staffers on his team. And then obviously that one meeting with him specifically to her face saying,
like, mentioning it, but not being like, oh, I'm not pressuring, but, like, just I want to make sure we're all on the same page and aware of what's going on.
So then he did talk to the public today and I watched it, and he also had, like, Jerry Butts, lol at that name, his, like, his, like, literal best friend from, like, university, who also was his his, like, principal secretary, who came forward and tried to portray that this was a lack of sort of communication, a lack of trust
and, like, misunderstanding between different sides,
because, like, she obviously took that being, like, being demoted from, like, Attorney General to become, like, the Veterans Affairs Minister as, like, a demotion. But they really were thinking that, like, oh, we actually have to mix things up because this guy had retired, and that they wanted her to become the Indigenous Affairs person because she is Indigenous. But she was saying, like, I don't want to actually do this because it would be taking over the Indian Act, which is something that she's been against, like, her whole life, which they do admit, like, oh, if we had had time, that would have been a smart thing to think, like, we shouldn't ask her to do this.
Right.
But then I'm like, why would you then still move her to Veterans Affairs? And someone did say to him, apparently, that, you know, if you do this, it's going to look like a demotion, and she's going to think it has to do with SNC-Lavalin. So I'm like, why did they continue
with
it?
Because that's the question. Like, did they actually move her around as a demotion, or is it just a coincidence?
Yeah, like, you know? Or is it, like, a big, like, actual misunderstanding?
Right.
But I just feel like when I'm learning all this information, it just feels like, yeah, like, you, I, maybe it's easier to say now that this is all blowing up in their face, but it seems like there was something else going on there, because wouldn't they have figured out that obviously she's going to take this as a demotion?
Right.
And I think the biggest issue for what's happening right now is that he has always been such a staunch feminist. That's been something that I want to talk about, which is, like, he made gender parity in his, like, cabinet, and I thought that was a really amazing thing. And here we see two women coming forward and using their voice and going against the status quo that I'm like, I don't know if this would have happened if it were not for their positions as women, as Indigenous people, to stand up for what is right. Like, and I think that he, in a sense, brought that on by bringing them into position.
Yeah, it's, like, obviously very ironic, because he was the progressive candidate, yeah. even though, like, he still ran on a liberal agenda. It wasn't necessarily that he was, like, further left than before. He thought it was important to bring on people who were really progressive and interesting and young candidates and people from, like, you
to
said,
mix
like,
it up,
women
and, they did.
And people yeah. who were indigenous. But it's, like, the question is, like, did that bite him in the butt because he's not as progressive as them, perhaps?
Yeah, or if he, like, or he just didn't
like,
have the foresight to see. But I do think, like, that's why we should start talking about how this sort of fits in the larger picture of politics and whether or not we actually think he is, like, a good or a bad prime minister, for
well,
example,
okay,
in this situation.
So, yeah, in
so let's
the
zoom
larger
out.
Picture,
yeah.
well, there was one quote I wanted to read from Wilson Raybould that I thought was very interesting and good. She said, "I come from a long line of matriarchs. I'm a truth teller in accordance with the laws and traditions of our big house. This is who I am, and this is who I will always be." So she stands by the fact that she found it unethical. She's grown up in an environment where you're supposed to always tell yeah. the truth, and she couldn't continue on being in this
And a
situation.
Lot of people are saying, like, it's not illegal, or we need someone to
she
say.
Also said, specifically, she said, nothing was illegal. Like, yeah. she has qualified that she was never asked to do something illegal, but she felt it was inappropriate.
And I think that the handling of everything that came out after she initially said, you know, I really feel like the Liberal government was kind of persuading me to do something because of SNC-Lavalin. They like that's when Justin Trudeau started to refer to her only by like Jody, not by her full name. And they started to eventually some people started to say she was difficult to work with.
Right.
And I think that's what actually brought on Jane Philpott to step down by being like, you're treating this situation in somewhat a sexist manner. And I think those were mistakes. Those were big mistakes because if he had just been clear and if he really was like, oh, if they had everything sorted, if they knew what was going on, they would have been able to be like, okay, no, this was a misunderstanding from the get-go and maybe like been able to come out sooner and speak on what they're saying now at the time when she came out. And this has blown up. Like, I don't know
in
if they're going to be able
way,
to recover
I'm confused.
From this.
I'm confused. I'm curious because we have friends who literally didn't know anything about it. But I'm seeing it everywhere, and there are definitely lots of people I know.
But
who
some
are
people
like, oh
are
gosh.
Not.
And some people
yeah.
are like, I voted for him, and I actually can't vote for him ever again.
Yeah,
like is the sentiment right now? So I don't think anyone really knows. Is the election far enough away? Will it actually impact
blow
them?
Over.
Will it blow over? Or will it be running over and over? And will more details come out that make it worse? So this is the big picture now, where I.
Like,
it
what do we do
me
with
sad
Justin Trudeau?
Because the alternative in Andrew Scheer is like very disturbing and very scary. And when we talk
explain
on
that
a world
more.
Stage,
he's a conservative.
Yeah, he's like an extremely conservative, like anti-abortion, evangelical, like problematic human being. That for me, I would feel like very sick to my stomach knowing that this scandal. Which I do believe is important, and I support the people who are, like, fighting against this scandal, but it would be really disheartening to me to think that this is the reason that someone like him would win, which would only cause how many more of these problems?
Yeah.
Not necessarily this kind of business problem, but, like, the issues that all these liberal people, and including the two women who have stepped down, are obviously in support of, might actually be fully reversed if a conservative government is to win.
Well, there's Jagmeet Singh. There's still the NDP.
Yeah, there's other
leader.
Alternatives,
yeah.
but there are many, many people who might feel scared. Like, they've never been in federal power. Should I say, is it never? I don't actually
know. They've been in federal power, but you're saying a lot of people don't. There are a lot of people in Canada who won't vote for NDP.
The NDP's never been in federal power.
Have they not?
No.
Oh, wait, are you serious?
Yeah, they in Ontario, they
oh,
won,
okay.
And that's when,
so
like,
that's
the
why people are nervous?
Yeah, there's a lot of people in Ontario who have had issues with, like, the NDP government and are scared that, you know, if they've never run a country, how are they going to know how to do it? So there's a lot of fear behind that, but, oh, are you checking?
Yeah.
A quick fact-check confirmation. The NDP party has never held leadership at the federal level. There has never been an NDP prime minister. But who is the NDP? They're the New Democratic Party. And compared to the Liberal and Conservative Party, they're a young, hip party. They're only 57 years old and established in 1961. And though the party has gone through twists and turns of who am I, who are we, and have more recently voted away from their socialist roots, ideologically, they would still be considered to the left of the Liberal Party. Under the ideology of social democracy, which is the support of economic and social interventions, such as a $15 minimum wage or child care for all within the framework of a liberal, democratic, capitalist economy. though there hasn't been an NDP prime minister, there has been support at the territorial and provincial level. In Canada, we have 10 beautiful provinces and 3 stunning territories.
We are Canada, made up of 10 provinces and 3 territories with capitals in all. We're here to teach you all and then some facts that go along with them. So sing along with me now, let's have a ball.
I found that song and at first I was like, ooh, no thank you. But it's actually a bop. And I learned some new things, like Alberta's provincial tree is the lodgepole pine, and that Canada's highest mountain is Mount Logan in the Yukon. Anyway, what I was saying was there has been NDP premiers, meaning the leader at the province and territory level, in 7 different provinces and territories. And currently, the premier of British Columbia and the premier of Alberta is NDP. This October, Canada will have another federal election, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. Will Justin Trudeau still be Prime Minister? Maybe, just maybe, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh could take it.
But yeah, I think on a grand scale, when you look at Justin Trudeau as a world leader, we're in a weird time with people like Trump, with people like all over the world. We have Putin, we have Duterte, is that how you say his name? Like from the Philippines, like yeah. Extremist leaders who are populist leaders. But then we have someone like Justin Trudeau who I understand some of the grievances with him, and I understand at times people are like, oh, he's just a Photoshop or a photo shoot opportunist and that kind of thing. That may or may not be true. I don't like fully believe it. On the world stage, he's obviously is somebody who supports democratic values. He did bring parity to his cabinet, which has never really been done before in the country. And even if those things, if you think they're just a front to like gain a popular vote, they actually did make a difference. And it's interesting, like I was looking up some of his accomplishments so far, and it's like Canada right now has the lowest level of unemployment in 40 years, the fastest growing wages in a decade, and the lowest debt to GDP ratio among any of the G7 nations.
And so, he has done a lot of things for refugees too. Like we sponsored a Syrian newcomer, and there were some programs that we used that I was looking at that he actually initiated that did make the settlement of Hassan a lot easier. Mm. Like I firsthand, like I had to go through specific government agencies to get things,
recently.
And I was like, wow, okay, Justin Trudeau created these. Like as someone who obviously thinks Canada needs newcomers in order to survive, like the East Coast literally is an aging population. People need to understand that if we want our economy to survive, we need newcomers to Canada. He did help do that, which is the right thing to do ethically, but also from an economic perspective, we need people to come to Canada. Mm-hmm. So I just think like that was something I got to experience firsthand that was thankful to some of the policies that he and his administration had brought in. And I was like, that wouldn't have been the same case if there had been someone elected in the conservative government, I'm sure. So he's done good things, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and I think that for... Like you said, I do think in some ways, and I won't paint conservatives, especially conservatives in Canada, with a blanket brush, because I think it is a much different country than America right now. But it is like I worry that these things have and always do happen. And I wonder, like you said, like if it was within the Conservative Party, would it maybe have just never come out because there weren't progressive candidates like we've had right now in the Liberal
Party? I know,
but
I genuinely think that wouldn't happen.
And so that's the frustrating part, that could lose an election. And that's something that I'm sure like the two women who have left now are going to have to think about.
But
if the election is lost.
So
but that is maybe not fair to throw on them when they're like, but I'm standing for my own
what's right.
morals and ethics
and I think
that I want to sleep at night.
That's the thing that for me I'm trying to like figure out. I think like big picture, this is a good thing. This is a good moment for democracy to have a woman come forward and face all these people and say, you know, what I feel was unethical happened, and this is how and this is why, and that we actually get to see the inner workings of politics. Mm-hmm. Like even listening to Jerry Butts, we'll never get over that name. Even listening to Jerry Butts like have to speak yesterday about how they went through the decision making of how to move people around within, it was like we don't actually get to hear about this that often. Even if we do, I don't listen to it. So mm-hmm. we're all hopefully tapped in. And I think what I worry about is that a lot of people, this is a scandal that I've been so excited to read about, maybe preparing for this podcast, but we have a lot of peers who just like glaze over these headlines and maybe we'll leave this thinking, oh wow, Justin Trudeau is corrupt and all these things, that I'm like, well, it's actually really important that you read what happened, read people's opinions, read how I think these women in many ways are standing up for what is right. And I like I'm so proud of them for doing that. But, like, understand what the other options are in the next election. Obviously, Andrew Scheer is using this as, like, a moment to be like, he needs to step down as prime minister and all these things, which I don't agree with.
Oh, yeah. But, and also, because people have talked about in Ontario right now, the similar things have happened with our conservative government being like cronies and using it to bolster their business.
Wait, what does cronies mean? A crony?
Like a criminal who is like a mobster.
I know. Like, well, that's the thing.
So,
like,
but
Doug
Andrew Scheer, the conservative federal leader, has never addressed that. But the second Justin Trudeau did, it's like, oh, we care so much about institutions being like right to the law, whatever. Yeah. So it's a frustrating time that it's very opportunistic. I saw like the tweets from both women kind of addressing when they were leaving. And a lot of people have said, like, if you look at the supporters who are tweeting and talking about this, so many of them are conservatives who are using this as an opportunity to be like, yeah, we support you. Like, we're so happy you stood up for justice. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how do we, and I agree, they stood up for justice.
And they stood up for what is right.
How do we make sure, as progressive people who want a country where we, like, support all different
people. And anti-corruption.
People,
yeah.
That we don't let this moment be taken out of context and be used as, oh, it's such a scandal. I don't know. It's just that I was really sad reading about it because there's a lot at stake in, like, a liberal democracy.
Yeah.
Like a democracy that does favor transparency. And I agree, Justin Trudeau has kind of, since he's been elected, gone a little behind the scenes, not talked as much, maybe not been as transparent as he should have
been. Exactly. That's what I think his mistake is. Yeah.
But at the risk of what? You think that the conservative government's more transparent, that they're going to have an interest in supporting science and supporting climate change and supporting, like, the initiatives that will cost the country money but for the benefit of more people.
But I still don't think that you can then just, like, ignore the fact that this happened. Like, that's why I think it's so interesting that people read about this and have a good understanding of where they want to their opinion to lie, because you're right. The conservatives are going to use this, like, to their advantage. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a way in which, especially with Jane Philpott stepping down, like, there's a way that I don't think that they can necessarily recover from the optics of this. Two women really coming forward and saying that this was a mistake. And I think, in my opinion, though, like, in the larger picture, like, I'm proud that they did that and they came forward and said those things. But I do think there's a lot more at stake here. And I think what frustrates me is that, as someone who is left-leaning and who has done a lot of research, even, for example, with what's going on in America right now with Fox News and how they literally are disseminating fake information.
Propaganda.
They are feeling comfortable with using propaganda. And they've literally studied right-wing establishments like Fox News and the way they disseminate information and left-wing. And they've found that right-wing people are a lot more comfortable with fully lying, with literally not telling the truth. And I think that is really scary, because I'm not saying yet that necessarily that's what conservatives are going to do, but Doug Ford, the conservative leader of Ontario, certainly is comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So there is this level of, like, okay, we can't just allow us all to go, okay, Justin Trudeau is bad, so now we have to flip the switch. Mm-hmm. We have to understand, like, in a nuanced way, where our opinions lie, and I just don't think people have the time and energy to be doing that.
Mm.
Like,
it's hard.
I think
time.
I really got to understand this because I know we wanted to talk about,
like,
it on
reading.
This podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's confusing. I would just, like, want people to know that it is exciting to learn about these things, and it is important to educate yourself on what's going on. But you're right. This could be the thing that ruins Justin Trudeau's legacy, which I don't know if necessarily that is fair based on what happened. But I do really think that there is a world where it's like these things need to happen in order for things to change. And just because you claim to be a feminist and you use all of these optics for your
doesn't
advantage,
mean
you need to...
You can't exploit them without actually standing to their standard. You know what I mean? Like, you can't exploit progressivism, is that a word?
Yeah.
Without also being held to its judgment.
And really, like, gain the benefits of the world stage thinking of you as the leader of like the progressive movement, then these things are going to come back and haunt you if you don't handle them properly. It's one of those frustrating things where it's like, with great power comes great responsibility. And he really propped up his responsibility as that person. And we expect so much of people like this to be perfect.
Right.
But for me,
I think I heard an interesting quote. I don't know if it was from him. Someone was talking about him. They said, like, don't compare me to Okay, this is like going to be a really botched version of this, but it's like, don't judge me by the standard of God, judge me by the standard of who I'm up against.
Yeah.
Which is like an interesting thing, because right now everyone's like, he's so bad, but then I think the end of our whole conversation here has been like, but we should really be evaluating the Liberal Party against the other parties they're running against and not to the standard of being perfect when it comes to this, when it comes to the election. Right now we can judge, I think, but then when it comes to the election, it's like, this doesn't stand in isolation of the comparison between what the parties actually stand for, I think.
So but one, the last thing that I want to say is that what this continually makes me feel, and I just, is that we need women to be in power, is like something I really think that needs to happen. And then think for that to happen, men need to start stepping down their responsibility. I think we need to be propping women up, which he actually did with gender parity, but we need to go even further. I think climate change is the biggest issue of our time. We all need to be focusing on that. So when the next election comes, the conservative government is not the government to vote in. The other two parties are the ones that are better at it. But I think Justin Trudeau has made a huge mistake with the pipelines in Canada. I am, I guess, thinking of those from a more radical perspective, because I do have opinions on how we should run the energy sector of Canada, and I really think we need to be phasing that out, which he's not. He's very centrist on those things. So I just think, like, come the next election, again, vote for science, vote for climate change. Wherever you are across the world, if you want your kids and your kids' kids to survive, that's what you need to be focusing on. And so that will, I think, allow people to, in the next election, be thinking about Justin Trudeau
and
NDP
say, like,
over Andrew Scheer.
This isn't just, this is not ASAP science, so don't just vote for science, because science is not always kind to all people. And I say vote for science, but also vote for, like, compassion and equality and fairness amongst, like, society, which is something that I think leftist ideals uphold
that's
and care
true.
About. Where equality, science, to me, is one of the most important things, especially with climate change, but how do we improve the quality of life for all individuals?
Which is something that he has, you know, when... like,
and does stand for, especially on the world stage, when you look at the differences between countries in that sense. So no final decision yet. It's quite a ways away. Maybe we'll do an update.
But read about it. It's so juicy. So interesting. And it's right now it really is about...
we're in the middle of it.
He said, she said at this point. Yeah. And there's not going to be a judge who's going to, like, bang a gavel and say, okay, this is the proper evidence. Like, it really is up to the general public of Canada to decide how they feel about this. So you need to educate yourself, because no one's going to be telling you what to think. Ugh, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Justin Trudeau. No, he, I'm just picturing him and just every morning waking up screaming. We were on Vogue. You know what I mean? Like, we were.
The tides have turned.
Oh.
And what's the phrase? You know, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Unless you're Obama. Okay.
Well, you never know. Like, Watson and Crick.
Know.
I mean, he still is alive. I'm saying you die a hero.
Okay, I'm literally like, I'm like,
what if he does something crazy?
It's not going to happen. Michelle and Barack, like...
perfect.
Like, put a plug in it. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Let us know your opinions.
And
by the way, I'm not using social media anymore, so if you've been tweeting me, if you've been using a hashtag, and I'm not responding, that's why. I might come back to it, but I was just taking a little, like, cleanse
it's
and
great.
A little bit break
it's
for
great.
Myself.
That's why you've read
still,
four books.
Still, hashtag side note podcast, still at Mitchell Woffit, at WhaleWatchPPLZ.
I'll read them.
Yeah, Greg can read mine for me and respond to you. But let us know what you think. Are you angry? Are you upset? How will this affect if you're Canadian?
Please.
And on the world stage,
please
do you
let
give
us
a crap?
Know.
I don't know. Okay, we'll see you guys next week. Bye. Peace.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.